It's Sunday morning, November 15th.
Step up in faith.
Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, more than ever, we need you. We need your presence. We need your spirit. We just call on your truth, Lord. And Lord, in these kind of trying times, Lord, and especially with one of our brothers affected, Lord, we just pray that you would release your faith, that we would pray and bring about an effective outcome, Lord. And Lord, I believe that you have not had this group over all these years listening to your word for no effect, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd begin to reveal what you want from us, Lord, in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Charlie, second guessing?
Well, he had diagnosed. Well, that's not why he's here. He's here because he possibly was in contact with COVID person. Or possibly.
Yeah, you're not on the prayer list, but several of your family members are. So it's kind of a discussion as to how many people should be broadcast to versus how many people talk to other people. I've got a request from someone in Washington who wants to get added to our local prayer list after several of the family members have all that information. So we're working through just how wide a distribution that text is.
I never got nothing about charity.
That one wasn't put on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk later. But I don't know if you heard, he's diagnosed prostate cancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just last week, found out on Monday, then he went back Wednesday to have some more tests because they're not sure if it went to some bone, and then they won't know until tomorrow about what they want to do about it, right? Something like that.
Yeah. They're still working through it. The other fact I heard was on a scale of 1 to 10, he's rated at an 8, and an 8 is 8, 9, and 10 is considered aggressive. And but I think the takeaway that I was sharing with Keith before everyone was here was that Charlie's looking at this a lot like Susan looked at her cancer, which is kind of out of nowhere. He became sick a few months back and was in the hospital with pneumonia. And when he was in the hospital with pneumonia, they ran a full blood panel test. And because they did that, they know that they picked up that he had an elevated PSA rating.
Really?
And then because of that, they had him come back for another test, and it continued to grow up. And they came back a third time, and it really spiked. And that's when they said, you have to come in. And so this shouldn't have been detected. The only reason it was detected was because he got sick. And he probably, you know, he's generally in pretty good health. I was stunned to hear that he ended up contracting pneumonia given his general health. So his comment to me was, this is a God thing. God created a way for this to be detected and detected earlier than it would have been. And so now, God will create a way to make a human. So he's in very good spirits.
Well, that's how they found my problems, you know, going in certain tests, you know, check things out, and then they found out I had all these other problems with it, you know.
Early.
Yeah. Because otherwise, who goes to the doctor all the time, you know? So, the Lord says, we're going to make you go to the doctor, we're going to get you sick, you're going to go, you know?
But I'll let this happen, to allow this to happen sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly right.
So, I mean, you know what? I think it's generated a lot more prayer in my life.
Amen.
And just over the last few days, which I mentioned a little in the prayer in the beginning, I just feel like, you know, God's got a call on all of our lives, and I don't feel like I've met mine yet totally or anything, and I don't think probably hardly anybody here feels that yet. And so, you know, it's like, well, I don't think God will take any of us until he's used us for what he wants us for, you know. So that's my plus on Charlie's condition, you know, and you know, he can, I tell you, he could have, any of us could have cancer, whatever, throughout our body, and he might keep us going like hardly nothing. You know, or he'll heal it, or he'll keep us going long enough till he wants to take us home. You know what I mean? So, I just feel like he's trying to generate some faith, I believe.
Well, I had prostate cancer years ago.
Oh.
I went through the operation.
Yeah.
Way back then. I don't know how many years ago it was, but.
I forgot about that. You mentioned that.
Yeah. So, you know.
Well, he's been diagnosed 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Precancerous conditions.
Huh.
That have been caught through other things, like
Charlie. Maybe still got the dots on my chest where they were going to do radiation where they didn't have to do.
No?
Yeah. But they had to be prepared for it.
Really?
They didn't have to go through it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, like I did. Stuff show up, and they said, oh, well, and I went in, and I just said, Lord, confound the numbers, you don't let them mean anything, and I went in, and nothing was wrong, you know, I mean, a little thing that, you know, I had blood in my urine, so right away they want to test your bladder, and that's a fun deal, but anyway, they found out that I had gotten just a little ruptured vein or something on the one wall or something that caused a little of the blood, and that was already starting to go away. So they said, well, nothing to worry about. And at the same time, I'd gotten like 7 biopsies on my prostate just to make sure. So, yeah. And last time it went up a touch, but nothing like the numbers Charlie saw.
Well, Ben has to go through some radiation in parts of his bones and his blood count was way down. Like the white and the red cells were way low. He had to have the transfusion to find some blood. But he keeps on going.
Yeah, no kidding. Ben's probably, what, 4 or 5 years beyond at least?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's in
6
or 7, I think.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing. Amazing.
Well, I think that highlights don't sell God short, and don't give doctors too much credit. I mean, because we're only people. We don't know everything. God knows everything.
Well, Keith, do you mind if
no, go ahead.
Biting at the bed, or? Well, I came across something that was kind of concerning faith, and I want to read the section of scripture. It's in Ephesians. And it was just, there's a verse here that just kind of caught me, and I thought it was very, very interesting. Ephesians 6, I'll start at 108, and then around in a bunch of different. Acts 3:16.
What were we at then?
Acts 3:16.
Oh.
I have another thing in Ephesians that I was going to point out, but that's not about stuff different. So let's see. Well, I'm going to go back to 14. But you denied the Holy. He's talking now. This is I believe it's Peter. Yeah, talking to the Pharisees, whatever. Well, let me start in 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murder to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Now this is what's interesting. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Oh, yeah, he was, because he had healed a paralytic, I believe it was, that was sitting at the gate temple, and they were kind of questioning him or whatever. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, you know what? I just saw something different when I first read it. I thought it was saying the faith that comes through Jesus. But now it might have been the faith that was in the man. We got to read this again. So, first of all, Peter's signifying how he was healed. It wasn't by him. It was through the faith in Jesus' name. Has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I don't know. How do you guys take that? That just read different than I was reading it this morning. I don't know if it's saying that the man who was healed's faith in the name of Jesus, you know, but because he had faith that Jesus, or if it's him meaning his name through his name, you know. Well, either way, it's faith. Which I've kind of noticed that, you know, like all, I remember when the big discussion was, can Christians have demons and stuff like that? And, you know, it's like, wow, like that, the guy in the tombs, you know, he wasn't a believer. Well, that's not really true, because if you look at almost any of them that were healed or delivered, they were coming. So they'd heard of this man, Jesus, that he was healing people and setting people free. So, you know, right there, you're stating you have some faith of some amount that says you want this guy because he can set you free, you know, to pray for you or touch you or do whatever. And the same thing is kind of with any of the apostles and stuff too, you know. They knew they represented the Christ, and that they had healing power and deliverance and so forth. So it's that's why I think if you really read through and looked at every case, there's a some form of where they were reaching out. You know, it wasn't just that they were just somebody who, oh, I heard there's a healer. You know, and I mean they had a form of faith that said they knew this could be the Christ, the Messiah, or whatever.
I still think they're referring to the faith in Jesus and Jesus' name.
I think so, too.
And looking at a couple of the translations, I think that's what they're trying to say. And when it flips, in his soundness, because then they're referring to the healed individual. So, that's the way I'm reading it.
So what kind of sparked me a little is I was a little excited because it was kind of saying that through Jesus, faith can come to you, you know. You're acknowledging his name, there's faith. Anyway, we kind of know that, but, you know, it's like, yeah, I know it, but do I really, really believe it, you know? Enough so that I have a confidence that if I pray, you know, faith will come. And I'm feeling a little more of that this morning than I did a couple days ago.
Lucky.
Yeah, amen.
I think that they wanted to emphasize the faith in Jesus' name more than the man having that faith, But he did have the faith that it was Jesus' name that was the most important.
Yeah, and I guess, let's see, blind guy. What did that person
say? I thought it was the lame one.
Who's seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, ask them for alms, and then Peter said, da da da. So I guess the guy wasn't maybe in this case he wasn't necessarily acknowledging that he knew about Christ, but
God has spoken to Moses and told him, he says, I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you. And when he comes, and Moses says, hear him. And it began to dawn on me some time ago that what he's saying is, it's not that the law and the prophets were given by Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So if we want the truth, and we want what God wants us to have, we have to go through Jesus. We can't go through the Muslims, or we can't go through these other groups. And we have to go through whoever promotes Jesus. And it says down here, and every soul which that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And whether that means they're going to end up going to hell or whatever it means, we have one access to God, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have any other access. And whenever people preach something else besides that, they're setting people up to go to hell. And we have a lot of people today that they look at it, they say, well, it doesn't really, you know. I mean, this is a country, the freedom of religion. We have the freedom of religion in this country, but the freedom of religion was a freedom to believe God in Jesus Christ. It was the freedom to believe the Muslims. It was the freedom to believe something contrary to that. There's only one access to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And every soul that will not hear that prophet will be cut off from among the people. We don't have many, you know, there's not many roads that lead to God. Jesus said, I am the door, I am the way, I am the life. Is that important? You better believe it's important. And when we start treating it as though it is not important, and I tell you another thing, and I was talking about, I was talking to somebody about it last night. when we turn against Israel, we're in trouble. And God brought Israel up out of all of the nations and formed a nation that was not. There was no nation. That's, I mean, 2,000 years ago there was, but there wasn't any nation. And he put them together, and they've had their short little wars, and people have looked at it, and they said, how did they win so quick? It wasn't their weapons. God is on their side. And it's not that they're right, but they at some point they will come into the truth of Jesus. Because that's what the Bible tells us. And but as such, God has his hand on those people he has brought up out of those countries. And I remember years ago, I mean, this is a long time ago, when when Germany was harassing the Jews, and when Hitler was trying to blame all of the German problems on the Jews, and which led to the Holocaust. I remember even among people that in people I knew, they said that they were quoting something from the Germans were saying. They said, "Today I shot another Jew," and they were happy about it. And I knew some people; they were happy about it. And of course, some of them were people who had come out of Germany, so they were still a part of the thought pattern. But I tell you what, we had better be sympathetic and kind to the Jewish nation, because in the end of all things, God is going to raise up His Son, who is going to be on the seat or the throne of David forever. So I think it's important that we realize. I was thinking about that yesterday. I thought, don't be un-Jewish. You know, don't be.
Don't be anti-Semitic.
Because God will deal with those people. I mean, I don't mean we have to move there, but I'm saying, you know.
Well, I been praying and doing and reading in the last few days. It's like this strength is coming for presenting the true gospel.
Yeah.
And most people, like us, had no idea what the true gospel really was, because the person that everyone thinks they know, they don't know, and that's Jesus, because they had him in a wrong place.
Yeah.
You know, they had him as an equal God with the Trinity, and you know, everywhere you read, it's becoming so much more clear and clear. Even if you read through Acts, it's like, why, if he's that, does God call him his servant? You know, Peter says, "And you anointed your servant Jesus, and your son, and you know, and this man you have anointed, this man you have set forth. And why was he sent? This is the biggest thing. The whole reason for Christ was to bring us to God, the Father." To make us, it says, a propitiation, that we might be reconciled unto God. Reconciled unto God. Not unto Jesus, unto God. And Jesus is the why we can have that happen. That's why your sins can be forgiven. That's why, and you know, that's why God proclaimed that this name that he gave his son is above every other name on heaven and earth, and all power has been given to him until an appointed time. All power. So now it makes so much sense that of course you baptize in his name.
Yeah, of course.
Of course you do everything in his name, because that's the name that has the power over everything. You know, and it's like, there's a place where, you know, Paul says that you would all be of one mind and one thought or whatever. You know what? We're not, obviously. There's a body forming, a body of Christ forming. But the only part that's forming is the ones that are of one mind. And if you don't want to be open to finding out whether you're of that one mind or not, of course you won't be there. You know? So You can't just sit around and think you know and you got it all, because you don't. And that's becoming so much more apparent to me. I don't know if this is bringing it out or not, but I, in my heart, I'm starting to feel this growing desire to proclaim the true gospel. You know.
How many years ago, Corky, did you guys hang up that sign?
Somewhere between 10 and 15.
10 to 15 years?
Wow.
It's been pretty well.
It's been a while.
But one of the reasons that we took the, I don't want to say liberty, that's not the right word, to make a sign out of that part of Scripture, is because that's found to be the same in 30 or 40 different translations of the Scriptures. And it says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You know that it says the man Christ Jesus over and over and over and over in the Scriptures. And when I saw that, that was an eye-opener to me. And because we have seen, you know, the God-man and the God the Son, and we've seen all of these things, which are not scriptural. And so anyway, the man Christ Jesus...
You need your water?
No. No. Well, the man that God ordained and God used for his own purposes. And we need to get that in our minds established right. We're not baptized into God. We're baptized into a man who is the Son of God, not God the Son. And I was baptized into the God the Son years and years ago, which was wrong. And then I was baptized into the man Christ Jesus, which is right.
Yeah, it's nowhere in the Word does it ever say God the Son. But it does say God the Father.
Yeah.
Because He's the only one. And in John 4, it kind of clears up the other part of the Godhead, where it says God is Spirit. And so he sends his Spirit lots of ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He uses his Spirit lots of ways, but it's still him. You know, you can't replica God as Spirit. You know, I mean, there is no other being that's a being like him. And so, if you're doing that. You know, like people say, well, if you say Jesus is not God, you're blaspheming. No, you say He is, you're blaspheming. If you're saying the Father isn't who He is, you know, you're saying that He has to be something other than Himself, and He doesn't have to be anything but Himself, because He's all-encompassing, He's all in all. Why would He need anything else but, you know, and the other thing is, and then some people if they don't want to give this credit, but if you go through the Old Testament, God will tell you about 30 at least times who He is, and He never has anybody equal to Him or beside Him or before Him or after Him. He says, I am the one and only God.
You know? Pretty clear about that.
Yeah. So why would He change His mind all of a sudden in the New Covenant? No, He's backing up all that in the New Covenant. And He's saying, I'm giving you through my Son, now you can have complete access to me. That one God that was in the Old Testament and was leading people and guiding people. Same God. Why would He change, you know? So there's I mean, it's getting down to the fact that if you're going to keep pronouncing this doctrine of the Trinity, to me, you're blaspheming, you know? And you're creating an idol concept.
Yeah, we can't proclaim anything except the Word of God.
Right.
And the Bible, or there's an old saying that says, the Old Testament is the Word of God concealed, and the New Testament is the Word of God revealed. And Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. He came to live what the law, what the words of the Old Testament said about him. And so and that's what he did as a man.
And he did it perfectly.
And of course, God has what is called foreknowledge. So he knew exactly what his son would do. And so that's what he foretold. That's what he prophesied through the prophets. We're going to see, I have seen some phenomenal things over the years, but we're going to see some greater things yet. Jesus said, you know, they saw the great things he was doing. He said, the greater things than these shall you do. And I think we're going to see yet some of those that are greater than what he showed us. And healings, miracles, and things are going to happen. We're going to see things happen to those that oppose God. It's not going to be kind. I don't know how people can shake their fist at God or they can oppose him and think they're going to get away with it. That scripture in John 4:24 that somebody alluded to here a minute ago, where it says God is spirit. Well, you know, when I saw what that, how that it said that, because I've always, in some translations it says God is a spirit, but that's a wrong approach to it, because God is spirit. As a matter of fact, all life and everything came out from him. He was, it says in John 5:26, it says, as the Father has life in himself, he has given to the Son also to have life in himself. And so God is spirit. He's life. He always has been. We don't understand that because we can't think in eternal terms. But God has always existed. And it doesn't enter my mind because I can't think of that in those terms, those thought patterns.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I can or I can't.
Right. That's part of faith too.
Yeah. Well, faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. And my faith has certainly grown as growing right now. The older I get, the more faith that develops. And that's because I constantly listen to the Word. And I keep thinking, you know, I should know a lot more about it by now than I do, but I don't. But I get it. I slowly gain understanding, and it changes me.
You know, I was kind of thinking too. I was thinking about this, what's kind of comprises our body right here, right now, and I thought, you know, we're a bunch of old fogies. You know, and so, how's God going to use somebody like that? Well, you know what? I don't care about that one bit. I mean, because if he wants, he can use you for one day, and who knows what could happen.
Yeah.
You know? You can't go by that. And, don't let that take away from your faith, you know? Like, because lately I've been thinking, boy, I'm starting to get up there too. You know, is God going to use me before? Yeah, I know he's going to. You know, you have to, I want us to keep remembering, why would he take a group, and it's not that we're the only one, but why would he do this for us, give us truth like we never had before, and we're just going to sit on it? I don't think so.
I don't want to.
No, I don't either. I mean, you know, like for me, one of the glorious things was when it said, when the Holy Spirit says in John, I'm going to teach you. Really? I mean, no middleman, nothing. Just God's Spirit's going to teach me. How many? Think about, wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want this God, who is everything, to personally teach you? Yes. And he will. That's the thing. It's you know, a lot of the scholars and the whatever, pastors, cardinals, pope, all think that you're not capable of having that. You need to be taught by somebody that's, you know, got it together. That's baloney. You know? Because the scripture says, and nowhere in all those instances when it refers to the Holy Spirit teaching, does it ever say there's somebody in between? You know? It's
nope.
Direct. And how God revealed that to us was that he said, you know, hear my word. Hear me. Hear my word. That opens the door. If you'll do that and not try to figure it out, you know. Like I was kind of in that place sometimes where I hear something, I go, oh, man, I got to reverse the tape and hear that again, you know. Well, after a while, it was like, no, I don't. If that's supposed to be ingrained in me, he'll ingrain it either right like that, or he'll have me hear it again and again and again. And then the other great thing for me, and I think most of us, I came to the realization that I had to admit to God, if he's going to teach me, that I don't know anything. And I need to start over, even though I've been involved in Christianity for 25 years, or whatever it was. You know, I'm going to start over, because God's going to teach me. Now, sure, some of the stuff that I've gotten was for real, you know. But there was a whole bunch that wasn't, and got sorted out, and is getting sorted out, you know. And that's a miracle in itself that, for one, and the other thing is you have to let it bypass your mental brain, your intelligence. You got to get rid of that, because that has nothing to do with when God teaches you. And I make the statement, not one single tiny iota of your intelligence can get you to heaven.
We need to get out of man's Christianity and get into God's.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's what's in Christianity most of it today, is man's mind. Mm-hmm. You know? And you know what? If I'm left to think, I'll pollute everything. You know? I mean, you know, it's getting exciting again. Because I think there's signs telling us that things are coming, you know. And we need to be grounded and steadfast in the Word of God, in His truth, and in Him, and in Jesus Christ, His Son, for who He really is, you know, and to know Him for who He really is. How many men can walk perfect? You know, that's a pretty awesome thing.
I think God will give us what we need when we need it. And probably not beyond that, because we're not capable of handling everything.
No.
So my desire to know something isn't necessarily what God needs me to know just yet.
Your curiosity isn't necessarily God's will.
Right, yeah.
Well, just to put on a little topper on that, about the fact that it says, you know, be of one mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the body needs. But that doesn't mean that you all do exactly the same thing, because it says the body is made up of diverse ministries and gifts. But you got to get to the place where you're of one mind for that to start really functioning and having an effect, you know. And that means that'll be with some people outside of these walls too, you know. God's, that body of Christ is everywhere in a sense, not everybody, but it can be from anywhere. So anyway,
I was just going to say, as you were sharing, you know, we don't want to get too caught up in what is God going to have us do. But I, in thinking about that, the greatest thing that God has given us is simply hear the word of the Lord. And if that is all we do for everyone else, like all God did for us, that would be an amazing thing. We don't necessarily have to go on a two-year missionary swing or whatever, because the thing that has changed our lives was simply turning to the Word and letting God teach us. And if that is, and if that's all I did for someone else, I don't know if I could do anything better.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And so, not to say that there won't be something more, but I think what I keep in front of my prayer request is that if God gives me the opportunity to share with someone, all I'm going to say to that person is, you need to spend as much time as you can in the Word of God and not listen to somebody else, because God will teach you. He will teach you what you need to know. And even if you think you're not smart enough, that's not true. That's the enemy talking. God will give you what you need to know.
That's obviously the whole emphasis is for people to come to that place themselves.
That was the thing that upset me most when we went to not having sermons, but listening to the Word. I thought, I can't do that. You know, I'm not capable. But the Lord made me capable.
Glory. That's what every person's got to see. I know it sounds crazy at first, in a way, you know.
It makes total sense.
In fact, I turn it another way.
Yeah.
No one is capable. Not even the person that you were listening to.
Right.
Not even the person that got up Sunday. Not even the person who's got a podcast or the TV show. They're not capable.
Right.
The only one that's capable is God. And the only way to get what God has for you for you to seek Him. And for me, it wasn't quite that way. I just was hiding. I really loved that whole submit to the pastor thing.
Yeah.
Because then I wasn't on the hook.
Right.
And the thing that really, and I've shared with the guys many times, is that scripture about, you know, accountable. You work out your own salvation. You know, that didn't leave any room for, but I was submitting to the pastor, or I was part of this organization. That's not what the scripture says. I'm responsible. So I have to take responsibility for that. I have to know. I have to know what God wants me to know.
I have to listen.
I can't, you know, because even as good as the ministers who are out there who have great hearts for God, they're still imperfect men.
And God's speaking to them, but He's also going to speak to me.
Yeah.
And
it's we're strange creatures. And Ken was talking about the necessity of all speaking or thinking the same, or the speaking the same thing, whatever, out the same heart and the same mind. One of the keys to this whole thing is we have to want to be that.
Yeah.
God, we have to allow God to do something in us so we want to be that. Mm-hmm. Because for the most part, people don't want that.
No.
We want the individual thinking of our own whatever, you know.
That's what came up in some of this when I was praying and everything, when I was thinking of groups or whatever, and even within us, it's like, yeah, if you don't want that, well,
you're not
going to
get
that. Like the love
for
the
truth.
Love for the truth.
Yeah, heart for the truth.
Because they did not receive the love for the truth. Well, you know what? You have to want it. And you have to pray so that God will cause you to want it.
And then there's a great amount of the church that just thinks because we all acknowledge Jesus Christ, we're of one mind. Yeah, well, what do you know about him? Who is he to you? You know, and you know, it's like, no, because then you go off here in this doctrine, and you go off in this doctrine. So you're not of one mind, you know. If you were, you wouldn't have all these different denominations and churches, you know, that speak different things. Not that we'll speak exactly the same words, but, you know, we'll speak the same truth.
Well, Jesus told us in the 17th chapter of John, verse 3, he said, if you want eternal life, I'm going to rephrase it, but he said, if you want eternal life, you have to get to know the Father and the man Christ Jesus that he sent.
Yeah.
That's what it says. And you know what he says? No man knows the Father except the Son, and whoever the Son will reveal him. So it says in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. And when we saw that scripture in John 4:24, that it says God is Spirit. You know what? That had one of the greatest impacts on me of any scripture. When I saw that it didn't say he is not a spirit. In other words, there are other ones like him or equal to him. But he is spirit. He is the one that thought all this up and made it. And he is the one that also can destroy it. Jesus said, don't be afraid of those that can only kill the body. He said, I'll tell you who to fear. Fear him that after he has killed the body, he can also destroy the soul. And I know people, you know, well, I don't want to have a fear. We don't want to have a fear. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? But you know what?
Well, that's a lot scarier question than it used to be.
Yeah. The thing is, the kind of fear that God is talking about here doesn't make you run around with your head in the sand. It gives you hope. You start to understand that this Creator is so awesome and unbelievable that, of course, He wants us to worship Him and exalt Him. He deserves it. There's not anything that He has created that deserves that, but he does. God is spirit. And out of that spirit has come everything that exists.
Of course, he promises too that if you do that, that you give him the glory and He's got all kinds of promises for you.
Yeah.
For us. You know, he says, then you will become my people. And then when you become his people, he takes care of his people. You know, his people.
What happened to Brittany?
She's back
here.
She's keeping her kids quiet. Almost had a Nobel Peace Prize for that.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good. this is Curtis's dad.
Rich.
Rich.
And that son of that, and he got baptized.
I think yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
I forgot the name. Though.
Yep.
Yeah, we built that baptism unit. The only two of us been baptized in it so far. It's
no.
Kurt and Eli.
Mm-hmm. Well, there'll be more, I'm sure. Yeah.
The girls need to. Once they get a little older, start to understand what everything means.
Yeah.
They're excited to hear that we're coming to church today.
Pardon?
They're excited to hear that we're coming to church today.
Yes, I
agree. Girls, when we picked them up,
oh.
Riley asked for her own Bible with her name on it.
Glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of get them on the right path.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's an area that I've thought about a lot. It's like, get this. How do you pass that to children at a young age? You know, mm-hmm. I don't know how at this point, but I think if you're a parent, somehow it'll happen, because I think it's just by affiliate, you know, by just being within you, person around you, hearing what you say and what you believe, and then if they listen, I'm sure. God has got to be faithful to any who listen, you know? And if they're hearing the Word of God, it's got to be going into them, you know? Because there is no condition. It isn't age. It isn't size. It isn't intelligence. It isn't looks. It isn't how much money you got, you know? It's anybody who will listen. He will feed, you know? So
let the little children come to me.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to become children.
And if we finally start being who we're supposed to be, they'll see the goodness of that, you know, compared to the world.
Right. Yeah. I know the girls are definitely proud of the progress that they've made, and I think that makes them more interested in all of this, too, that they see in black and white, you know, how much Dad has changed over the years.
Our response to everything being prayer definitely helps their response to everything being prayer. Whether it's a good thing, we praise God. If it's a bad thing, we ask God for His help. And they all have started doing that, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. Because that's a dependence on Him.
Right. I mean, we tell them something is red is red and blue is blue and God is God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's right.
Giving it to God is definitely like a very strong... It's just one line, but the gravity of it is so immense.
Yeah.
You know, especially for me, I've definitely been an aggressive person, and if there's a situation that I want to go a certain way, I'm going to do everything I can to make it go that way, even if it's like doing something that I shouldn't, you know. And now I learned to just pray about it and give it to God, and things go a lot smoother for me. There's a lot less negative stuff going on when I just let Him handle it and have faith. Know that if I have faith in Him, He'll have faith in me. And sometimes struggles come along, but that's God wants to know if He can trust you in the situations that He puts you in. And He definitely has tested me, and I think I've done pretty good. And it's just building a relationship. I don't know what that's all leading towards, but I just felt like I should have just said it.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's the whole thing. A lot of people don't even know that you can have a relationship with God.
Right.
You
it's
know?
Just an idea in a lot of people's heads.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, if I go to church, that's my relationship.
Right.
No, you can have a personal relationship.
You can go to church your whole life and be die separated from God.
Yep.
I've gone to different churches, and I've, like, been in jail too. Like, go have your little church sermon. All I've ever seen from any churches really is just a guy that likes to hear himself talk, you know? And however it may be, no offense, Keith, I'm not talking about you, buddy.
Been there, done that.
Right?
Right? We don't need your.
Yeah, yes. I've never taken anything away from that, really, you know, until I've just started listening to the Bible. We play the Bible at home, we read the Bible, nothing can compare it to just what you get from the words, you know, fills your soul. There's so much physical, I think it amuses me when people that, like, have doubts in a God or don't believe in Jesus necessarily, or even people that just aren't really involved, you know, they say that it's all faith and there's no physical proof. And it's like, man, there's nothing more physical and more real than when I'm touched by God and something happens, and or I hear His word and it sinks in. You know, if it's as real as if you came and punched me in the chest right now, you know, when you feel His presence,
yeah,
it is thick. It is thick.
Amen.
You know, and there's no denying it.
Most churchgoers, their relationship is with the guy standing up front talking, and they're expecting him to be the mediator between them and God.
Amen.
But, you know.
Yeah. Amen.
They're not looking for their own. They're just depending on the man talking. You know.
If he believes it, I believe it.
Yep. If he says so, it's got to be a fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, worse than that. If he says it and it doesn't feel right to you, you're told, yeah, just sit on it for a while. You'll come around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give the devil time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That guy's busy.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
He's the hardest working guy in Hollywood. I said the other day to Brittany, because if you know anything about all that nasty stuff they do over there with the Satan worshiping, so it's home.
I feel sorry for him.
You know what's really tough is we got neighbors next door and they have kids. Yeah. And they're screaming and hollering and fighting. And the little girl, she decided one day she was going to just run away from home. She did. And you sit there and you know that, boy, you just love to get your hands on them and just take them in and start delivering that demon out of them, but you know what? You're kind of stuck because it's not your place at this time. You know what I mean?
Well,
you know, you'd like to do something to help them, but
they gotta believe before you.
Yeah,
them.
You just.
She has what I call Sophie's having her fits. She actually has fits, and she's what, in first grade?
And someone's at the grade.
She will scream the top of her lungs for an hour. And nonstop. That's
got to
be a demon.
Yeah. You know, and it's really, really tough
just
to see that.
My
knowing
heart aches for
what you know and not being able to do anything about it. You know?
She comes from, her mother is a drug addict. And she was with her mother, and then her dad got custody, and now she has a stepmother. But she was screaming. My heart just goes out. I cry inside for her. You know?
So, it's like they're at least I do. I'm buying those demons over there, you know. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I would like prayer for that family today. I really
yeah, they really need it. That's it.
I
you know.
Would love to witness in God's time.
Make one last statement before I take it. What I've come to realize in the last week or two, or whatever, you know, we say, well, you know, I'm part of this body, or I'm a brethren of Christians, you know, whatever. You know, if that's true, because the body of Christ is going to be eternal. So where I've finally come to is I can't let anything like politics or whatever be more important than my relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I haven't been there, you know. that's the path I want. See, we keep saying, you know, we're the body of Christ. Well, you better read about what the body of Christ is for one another. You're willing, that means you're willing to die for them. You know, and so it's like if somebody's like not wanting to be, well, of course, I don't know, this, that gets to be tough because everybody's in a different place in their walk. But that shouldn't keep anyone from being a part of the of a real body of Christ. I don't know if that's about the only way I can put that. Those things they should be elementary, you know. I mean, that's where we got to get to, where, you know, when you got to be in the place where they were in Acts, you know, where you're willing to give up everything for your brothers and sisters, you know. If there's, you know, and I'm not completely there yet, but I know I'm willing to give up any of those things. Like, my politics has got nothing to do with my relationship with you in Christ. You know, it just doesn't. It's never going to help anything. It's never going to really amount to anything, because all that's going to burn in the end, you know. And so, I mean, I think when we start having that, that's when we're going to start seeing, you know, things changing, you know, in small areas, not in the world necessarily. It might even change the world, I don't know, you know, or the country or whatever, but it's...
I hear you saying, you're reminding yourself, and we need to remind ourselves, make sure our choices are for the eternal, not the temporary.
Yeah.
And I just kind of went through that as Susan and I were just talking, and I was expressing my displeasure with the natural about things. And I have quite the list. I can be really good at coming up with a really long list of gripes. And my bride, she looks at me and she goes, you know, God's in charge. And I go, I know that. Right now I feel like complaining a bit, but I know where I need to be. And it came to the place where, you know, is this what I need to worry about, or is that what I need to worry about? And so as Ken was sharing, he was saying it in a, probably a better way, but it's just that we need to stop worrying about the little things and the things we know God doesn't worry about. And God's only worried about us and our soul. And what are we doing? And taking that a step farther, as Ken was saying. So what are you willing to do for the members of the body or your brothers and sisters in Christ if they're struggling or they're not,
or they need,
or they have an issue? Yeah, I mean, you know, we share the scripture, you know, love your enemies. I mean, this particular time and place, the natural self, all the people that don't see the world the way you do, you could view as an enemy, so you got to love them anyways. That's what God told us.
Just keep reminding ourselves that God's in charge.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been doing that.
And we need to trust
a little bit lately, more than normal, but, you know, because... You know, my opinion is nothing compared to his.
Exactly right.
Reminds me of when I prayed, Lord, this is what I want, but I'm willing to go along with what you want.
Let me hear my preferences, however, I defer to you.
That's about it.
Lord, that'd be it.
Well, it's kind of what Jesus said, right?
Yeah.
If this cup could pass for me, nevertheless.
Your will. Yeah,
that's right. So.
But I want you to know what I want.
And I think when we get to the point where we know that what we want really doesn't matter, and what we want is what He wants. And that's what I keep kind of driving myself to.
Yep.
It's not what I want. And in fact, we talked about wants versus needs, and God will meet your needs, but maybe not necessarily your wants, and then, you know, and then what you get your wants to be, whatever God wants.
Yeah.
And I'm not walking there. I'm not saying, I kind of know where I need to go, which I thank God for that. which reminds me this is what I need to do.
But I'm not there
yet. But I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
We love you all.